Invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. We are not going to cover every verse 7 to 33. Some of you were afraid that this was going to be a long sermon, but I only have 2 points. A 2-point sermon. So if you'll listen to my 2 points, I won't have to make up a third, but if you're not listening, I'll just make up a third point. And all of your fears will come to reality. Pastor Tommy is just preaching on and on and on and on and on. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 7 through 33. I'm going to read one verse. I'm going to read verse 7 first. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. So this morning we are talking about fear. We are going to talk about what makes you afraid. And hopefully, by the end of the sermon, I won't have taken away all your fears, but hopefully there will be some tools that you can have that will help you. So this sermon is titled, Theophobia versus Androphobia. Theophobia versus androphobia. Phobia is just a Greek word that means fear. I'm sure everybody has, most of us has heard the word phobia. So theophobia is fear of God. Theo is the Greek word for theos, which is God. So theophobia is fear of God. Androphobia is fear of man. Fear of God, fear of man. So before we start this sermon, I'm going to have you raise your hands on this question. This is an easy one because you're in church. Who should you be more afraid of? God or man? If you believe you should be more afraid of God, raise your hands. Okay, you can put them down. Any of you believe that you should be more afraid of man, raise your hands. Okay. It was an honest question, honest answer. So, when we talk about being more afraid of God than being more afraid of man, what we are talking about is listening and obeying God and what He tells us to do more than what a person may tell us to do. Before we get into the phobias, I want to give you a little illustration so that you can kind of understand. So, young people, you're at school, and your friends are wanting you to talk in class when you know you're not supposed to. The teacher's up there talking, and your friend's sitting next to you in class, and your friend's just like, I gotta tell you something. I gotta tell you something. I gotta tell you something. The teacher. You know that you're supposed to be listening to the teacher and following her rules about when I'm teaching and I'm talking, you're not talking, but you have this friend. It could be your best friend. And this best friend might have something really good to tell you. But the place and the time is wrong. So what do you do? Do you give in to the pressure of your friend and talk? Or do you follow what your teacher says and the rules and listen? So that's kind of what we're talking about here, but it's on a biblical level. Because unfortunately, in this life, people can put pressure on us to do wrong things and make wrong decisions. And we got to come down to, in our life, do we listen to God or do we listen to man? Who are we more afraid of? Okay, the human condition is full of fears, but God did not intend for this to be the dominating part of our life. God never intended for you to live in fear. So let's talk about some fears. It's actually interesting. I know different people that I know have several of these. So these aren't in any particular order. These are 10 common fears. So the first fear, acrophobia, fear of heights. There's a lot of people that are afraid of heights. The second fear, aerophobia, fear of flying. I know someone who has a fear of flying. Aerophobia, fear of flying. This has to do with my field. Arachnophobia, fear of spiders. I get a lot of calls. We've got these spiders in our house. Come get rid of them. Now, to make you feel better, in our area, northern Illinois, we do not have commonly brown recluse or black widow spiders. Those are the two major spiders in other parts of the country that can really make you sick. But unless something is shipped in, they don't naturally live here. Most of our spiders that live here, all spiders bite, but most of them, their mouth parts are so small that they don't even make a cut on you. So if you're afraid of spiders, they are our friends. They eat mosquitoes and kill other bugs. But no, seriously, some people are afraid of spiders, and I get it. Number four, ophidiophobia, fear of snakes. Ophidiophobia is the fear of snakes. Now, guess what? If Adam and Eve would have a little bit more of this, we wouldn't even be here today talking about things we're afraid of. But they didn't, unfortunately. Cynophobia is fear of dogs. Trypanophobia is fear of injections. Some people are, take the shots away from me. I don't want anything. Well, you need the shot because you could die if you don't get the shot. Well, okay, I'm not going to do it. No, hopefully they will. Astrophobia is the fear of thunder and lightning. I can share with you, because he is not here today, little Morgan, our dog, fireworks, thunder, and lightning, he's gone. I mean, he jumps fences. He leaves. I'm gone. Under the couch, if there's thunder or lightning. He's a really cute little dog, but he is so afraid of thunder and lightning, fireworks. Agoraphobia is fear of being alone in a situation where escape may be difficult. Some people otherwise know this as claustrophobia. They don't want to be in a closet or a tight space. But agoraphobia is you're alone and you might not be able to escape. So there's some people that are afraid of that. And then mysophobia, excessive fear of germs and dirt. Some of you, you're just afraid of germs and dirt. You wash your hands a lot, you're afraid of germs and dirt. It's okay to be afraid of germs and dirt. It's important that we have proper hygiene so that we can avoid germs and dirt. But some people take it to extremes. That's the thing about all these fears, is when they take it to like really extremes. And then last but not least is social phobia. It's fear of social situations. Public speaking would be one of those social situations. So all of these different kinds of fears that we have in our life, God did not intend for us to live this way. He did not intend for us to live in fear. So the passages we are looking at today draws a contrast in the relationships the Israelites had with God as opposed to the relationship Moses had with God. What was the difference? What did God want? How did the two different relationships affect lifestyle choices? It's interesting. There's a couple of different stories in the Old Testament where it relates to God's relationship with Moses and God's relationship with the rest of Israel. So when they got to Mount Sinai, where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, God told the Israelites, okay, everybody stand back away from this mountain. Make sure your life has been pure for the last two or three days. They had a little time to purify themselves. But then he also said, stay away from this mountain, don't touch it, because I'm fixing to bring my presence down on top of it, and if you touch it, you're going to drop over dead. So God's presence came down on top of the mountain, and the children of Israel heard the thunder, they saw the lightning, they saw the power of God. And then God said, okay, now you can approach the mountain and let's have this relationship. But the children of Israel said, Moses, you go for us because we're so afraid God's going to kill us. God didn't want that relationship with the Israelites. He didn't want them to be afraid of him. He wanted them to respect him. He wanted them to fear him in a reverent sort of way. But the children of Israel's like, Moses, you go. You go talk to God for us. God never intended for that to be that dynamic. So Moses did. Matter of fact, Exodus 33:11, you don't have to turn there. You can listen. It says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. The relationship Moses had with God is the same relationship God wants to have with all of us. Moses wasn't necessarily a special person that God had a special relationship with him that he wasn't willing to have with any of the other Israelites. But Moses did have this intimate, personal relationship with God, to the point where God would speak to Moses face to face as one talks to a friend. As you talk with a friend tomorrow or next week, you just call them up on the phone. Hey, what's going on? Talk to them about their life, what they got going on, work, school, whatever they're going to do. You just talk to them because they're your friend. God would talk to Moses the same way, face to face, as a friend. And that's the relationship God had with Moses. That's the relationship God wanted to have with the Israelites. Then there's another situation that illustrates this in Numbers 12:8. You don't have to turn there. Let me give you just a quick background of this story. Moses' brother and sister thought that maybe Moses shouldn't be in charge anymore. Aaron and Miriam. You know, Moses is getting old. He's not up to date with all the new ministry techniques. Maybe Moses shouldn't be in charge. Now, you have to understand, the Bible talks about that Moses was a very humble person. I mean, he really reflected humility in a way that we all should. But he was a very humble person. And Moses' brother and sister, it made it more complicated because it was his brother and sister. They're like, you know, we shouldn't listen to Moses anymore. So God said, Aaron and Miriam, come here. Let's have a little chat. This is what Numbers 12:8 says. God said, with him I speak face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. And then he says, why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? You see, Moses had a different relationship with God than even his own brother and sister. Miriam got struck with leprosy. It's bad. But everything got fixed a little bit later when they realized, oh, we shouldn't have messed with Moses. But that shows the relationship that God had with Moses, this intimate relationship. I mean, Almighty God, Moses talked with God face to face. You know, God wants to have the same relationship with us. He does. He wants us to be able to talk with him. He wants us to be able to bring our needs and our fears to him. He wants us to be able to come and just spend time with him. That's the kind of God we serve. That's why it's more important to be afraid to disappoint God than it is to be afraid to disappoint man because of who God is and his love for us. So let's go to point number one. Biblical definition of fear. So I'm going to define fear so you understand it. Isn't it funny? There are so many things we experience it and we don't even know the definition of it. So there's been lots of times in your life when you've been afraid. And you didn't even know what the word fear meant. You just knew, boy, I am afraid. I am scared right now. So let's talk about a biblical definition of fear. That's so important to understand and have a biblical definition of fear. Okay, this is fear from a biblical standpoint. Fear is having a reverence or being in awe of a holy, glorious God that produces attitudes and actions that please him. Let me read that first part again. This is our fear towards God. Fear is having a reverence and awe, or being in awe of a holy, glorious God that produces attitudes and actions that please him. If you truly fear God, you reverence him, you're in awe of him, then when he asks you to do something, you're going to do it. Hopefully, you respect and reverence your parents. Hopefully, I'll use a different one also. Hopefully, you respect and reverence your teacher at school. So when they ask you to do something out of respect for them, you obey. It's the same way with us and God. So the second part of the definition of fear, the biblical definition of fear, humanity has built in fear that is supposed to produce guardrails to prevent disobedience. Let me read that again. Humanity has a built-in fear that is supposed to produce guardrails to prevent disobedience. Let's think about this for a minute. The Garden of Eden was a great place. There's little sheep and goats and antelopes running everywhere. They had giraffes, Pam. They had bears that didn't eat you. They had lions and tigers that didn't eat you. I mean, all kinds of neat animals. Then there was Adam and Eve. Then there was all kinds of fruit. If you like fruit, all kinds of probably good vegetables. I mean, it was a really great place to live. Just from reading it about it, it looks like a great place to live. And God told Adam and Eve, you're in this garden. Eat anything you want. Anything you want. Any of these fruit trees, you just have at it. Any fruit you want, you eat it. Except for one tree. One tree. Wouldn't it be nice in life, and I've said this before, but wouldn't it be nice in life if there was only one rule we had to follow? If there was only literally one rule, it'd be easy to remember, right? So when you go to school, do y'all have a lot of rules? Don't run in the hall. Don't chew gum. Don't talk. Don't write on the walls. There's all these rules. There's 10 commandments, so there's actually 10 rules that the Bible teaches us about. But Adam and Eve had one rule. Don't eat from that tree. That was the only one rule. Don't eat from this tree. And what did God say? Don't eat from that tree because the day you eat from it, you're going to die. You know what God was telling them? You need to be afraid to disobey me. You need to be afraid to break this one rule that I have for you. And God told Adam and Eve, I love you. They would walk with God in the garden. I mean, can you imagine just walking around with God, the creator of the universe? They did. They just walked around with God. They talked with God about all different kinds of things. But God said, I love you, and for your benefit, don't eat from this tree. That's the one rule. Because in the day you eat, you'll die. You know, that's fear, right? Being afraid to disappoint God, that's fear. Being afraid to die. I think probably one of our number one fears as humans is probably dying. We don't like to think about it. We don't like to talk about it. We don't like to hear about it. But God told Adam and Eve, listen, you need to be afraid if you disobey me because in that day you're going to die. If you remember the story, Adam and Eve were standing, they were both there. Adam was here, Eve was here. They listened to the snake. Eve took the fruit, said, this tastes good. And then she handed it to Adam. Adam ate it. It tastes good. They died that day like God said, but they didn't like fall over physically. They died spiritually. They died and were separated from God spiritually because they sinned. And it separated them from God. That's why we have to have a Savior. That's why Christ has to forgive us. So God built inside of all of us a fear of disappointing him, a fear of doing stuff that we're not supposed to. Because a lot of times we know something when something's right or wrong, right? I mean, you've got it built inside of you. You know when something's right or wrong. And God built that in us to point us to him and to follow him. So that's what fear is. It's having a respect for God and reverence for him, but then also allowing our fears of disappointing God calls us to be able to follow him and to live for him. That's why it's important to know the Bible, because this helps us to follow God and not break his rules. It helps us not to sin. It's interesting, Proverbs 3:7, I read it earlier, says, "Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, shun evil." In other words, respect God and then run away from bad things. So many times we think we're better and, you know, hey, I can handle this. But no, respect God and run from evil things. Okay, point number two. We're already on the second point. But the second point is longer than the first point. I'm sorry. Point number two. But this is what you've been waiting on. How to eliminate the wrong fear and embrace the right fear. How do we get rid of all the phobias in our life? Do you want to live in fear? No, nobody wants to live in fear. So what do we do with fear? Fear is an emotion. And sometimes fear can just grip you, and it makes us miserable. It makes us nervous. And it controls us sometimes. Our fear controls us. You can go and look at all the different things you're missing out on. You're missing out on air travel if you're afraid of flying. You're missing out on lots of beautiful mountaintops if you're afraid of heights. There are a lot of things you miss out on if you allow your fear to control you. And see, that's the one of the most important things to understand about this. It's not about being afraid. It's about allowing our fear to control us where it dictates to us and we live our lives because of the fear. And God said, don't do that. I don't want you to live your life controlled by fear. So we're going to try to eliminate the wrong fear and embrace the right fear. So if you look in Proverbs chapter 3, go all the way down. To verse number 21. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 21. It says, "My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you and an ornament to grace your neck." Verse 23, "Then you will go on your way safely, and your foot will not stumble." Listen to verse number 24. "When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet." Let me stop right there and kind of let this sink in for a minute. Proverbs is telling us, if we will allow God's wisdom and his understanding that comes from a relationship with him, then these two things, the wisdom that we get from the Bible, which is God's word, and then understanding that God loves us, he's there for us, he's with us, then we will go on our way safely. Our foot won't stumble. When we lie down, we won't be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. So you can go to sleep and not be afraid. Sometimes when you go to sleep at night, you know, especially when you're younger, you're afraid. Afraid of the dark. Afraid of a guy under your bed, or an animal, or a creature. these are things that, you know, you're afraid of, and you don't want to go to sleep because I'm afraid they're going to come get me. It's interesting, the book of Proverbs addresses that. If you have a relationship with the Lord, and He is your friend, and He loves you, and He wants to take care of you, and you listen to Him and try to do what He says, He says you don't have to be afraid of the dark when you go to sleep. You can lay your head down at night and rest. Now let me do say this. If you've not accepted Christ as your Savior into your life, it should be hard for you to lay down and go to sleep at night, because you don't have the promise of eternal life because you've not accepted the free gift that Jesus has offered you. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, but so you can lay down, go to sleep. Your sleep will be sweet. Look at verse 25 of Proverbs chapter 3. He also says, have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. Listen to verse 26. This is very important. For the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. So he's talking about sudden disaster, sudden fear. So sometimes I'm the scheduler for our company. I do a lot of scheduling. And sometimes sudden fear comes over me because there was something I was supposed to put on the schedule and I didn't do it. And I'm like, oh, I can't believe I forgot that. I forgot to put it on the schedule. That's not necessarily what the writer of Proverbs is talking about here. What he's talking about here is being able, because of our relationship with God, being able to control worrying about sudden disaster. Worrying about all these things that might happen to us. Verse 26, for the Lord will be at your side. He will keep your foot from being snared. You see, it's about having a relationship with the person that knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Now, let me explain this, unfortunately. If Christ doesn't return, like in a little while, we're all going to get really, really old, unfortunately. And there is going to be a day that one of these days we are going to die. I hate to break that news to you. And, you know, to a certain degree, it is human to be kind of nervous about one of these days we're going to die. That's human. But as a Christ follower, God comes along and he wraps his big arms around you and he says, you know what? I will be there with you. Psalm 23, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because God is with me. You see, our relationship with the Lord and our friendship with God is supposed to help alleviate a lot of the fears we deal with on earth. You see, that's the way it works. So Moses had a proper fear of the Lord. He had a deep, intimate relationship with the Lord. So here's the key. The more we develop our relationship with the Lord, then we will be able to control our fear of man's disapproval. And we are able to control the sin that puts barriers between us and God. So if we have a proper respect and fear of God, and we are afraid to displease Him, then the fears that we deal with on a daily basis down here, we're going to be able to deal with them and control them more, because God is taking care of us. God is there. Listen to a few more verses, and then we'll be done. Proverbs 29:25 says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. And he keeps you safe by protecting your life, or he keeps you safe, unfortunately, but it is a promise by taking care of us and being with us as he takes us to heaven, if that should happen. Matthew 10:28, this is our scripture verse. Jesus says, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. So in other words, Jesus says, don't be afraid of the person that can kill your physical body. I mean, we're all afraid of that person. But God helps us with that fear. But Jesus said, don't be afraid of the person that can kill the body. But you need to be afraid of the one that can destroy your body and soul. If there is a person in your life that is keeping you from following Christ, that person is hindering you from having this forgiveness that Christ offers. That's what Jesus is talking about. Listen to James chapter 4, verse 8. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know what fear causes us to be? Double-minded. Oh, I want to go to this party, but there's going to be so many people there. And they're all going to be looking at me. They're not really going to be looking at you, but that's what you think if you have social fear. When I was in sixth grade, we came back from church camp, and they wanted all the teenagers to get up and give a little testimony about what happened. I was in sixth grade. I laid in that pew, and I was bawling my eyes out because I wasn't going up there. And, you know, our youth pastor, come on, Tommy, it'll be okay. No way. And I didn't go. But James tells us, come near to God, and he will come near to us. Revelation 3:20, I'm going to paraphrase this because I didn't type it out in the notes. Jesus is knocking at our heart's door. And he says, let me come in and sit down with you. Let me be your friend. Revelation 21:3 is a very neat verse. It says, God is our God, and we will dwell with him, and he will be with our God. He will be our God, and we will be his, and he will wipe away all our tears, and we'll live with him forever. So, if you have some of these fears, there's ways to get help. There's ways to control them. But the number one thing is you need Jesus as your friend. You need to walk with him and talk with him. And there's going to be days, Jesus, I am really afraid about getting up and reading this paper in science class. And I really need your help. You say, boy, that's such a little thing. No, that's what a friend is there for. Anything you are afraid about, anything in Peter says you are worried about, give that worry to Jesus because Jesus cares for you. So there's not a five-step program to eliminate your fear. I wish I could give it to you, but there's a one-step relationship that I know that will help you deal with the issues of life that cause you to be nervous and worry, and that is a relationship with Christ. A face-to-face, one of these days, but an intimate relationship with Christ, just like Moses had. You can have it. It can be yours. I hope Jesus is your friend. One of the neatest things, Abraham was called the friend of God. When God looks down on us, does he say, oh, yeah, there's my friend. Oh, there's my friend. Oh, there's my friend. Or does he say, I don't know this person. They ain't talked to me in weeks. A relationship with Christ will help you overcome any fears that you face. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you love us. We thank you so much that you care for us. And you want us to live this life and enjoy it. You don't want us to be afraid. You don't want us to not be able to sleep at night. But we need to understand the love that you have for us and the relationship that you want with each of us. Help me and help everybody in here to see how much you care for us and how you want to talk to us, how you want to forgive us, how much you want to keep us safe. And if there's someone here today, they've not accepted you, they've not asked you into their heart, we pray that today they'll do it before they leave. If there's someone here that is dealing with a fear or an anxiety that's really just out of control in their life, we just pray that they will find the comfort that you offer, the rest and the safety that you offer. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.